He really does need to smarten himself up, particularly in that area.
He actually just went into this nearly Superman mode that was trying to work harder.
If he was to go, it would put us backwards a little bit.
I crawled under that rock in my room by myself, got an ice cream from the shop and watched him go.
There's no regrets whatsoever from my perspective playing on.
Well, Miss has got a bit of a crush on him. He's actually come around a couple of times. He's getting an invite, but not by me.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
We do love the Inner Sanctum on the Breakfast Club, 25 to 8 on a Tuesday morning, and we are very pleased to have the services of the coach of the Carlton Football Club, Brendan Bolton, who has joined us in studio. Good morning, Bolts.
Morning, Half. How are you, mate?
Going very well, mates. Very well indeed. It's finals time. How can you not be up and about? I imagine you'd be sitting there. Part of you will be sitting there going, geez, I wish I was involved this week. But part of you knows that that's not where your club is at the moment. Where do you sit in the scheme of things watching footy at this time of year?
Oh, yeah, you're always envious and a little bit of jealousy there. That's the stage that all coaches want their players to be involved in and players want to be involved in. But, you know, we're a couple of years into a reset and it's never that far away, but it's always miles away.
When you watch the finals and the football that's being played and you've had a bit of time to reflect on the year, are you looking at certain types of players or game structure or a bit of both that will help you take yourself to that level?
Yeah, we had all our coaches at the game on the weekend and you're analysing systems, but I know this sounds a little bit simple, Jimmy, but it's just this accumulation of fundamentals done over and over again, and I think your old mob, the Cats, they won the ball in at the contest on the weekend, and you know, a lot said about all the strategy, but they did win it on the inside and gave them first use with the footy, so it's just been able to win those contests over and over again.
So because of that and your contest, do you then, you know, talk to your recruiters, your list managers and your coaches, go, look, we need to, you know, bulk our list up with another, you know, in the draft or free agency, whatever it be, with the contested style players?
Yeah, well, we think we've got a few in Gibbs and Cripps in particular, Ed Curno. Both Ed and Cripper are injured late, but we think we've got some strong contested players. But we need to build depth in all lines, let it be inside mids, outside mids. We've done it with a lot of young kids, but we need to reinforce it.
I'm just interested, as a coach, sort of 3 or 4 weeks since the end of the season, do you get out of game mode? Because you're very intense in the coach's box and you're such a competitor. What's your mindset like now? Is it easier to sleep at night or is it actually harder because you're thinking about how to get better, how to improve your list, all that sort of thing?
Yeah, all those thoughts, Whitey, are common. What are we going to be doing in the draft? Is trade an option for us? How are we going to adjust our game style? You're thinking about that all the time, but I think my wife Louisa had a giggle the other day. She said, "You've listened to me for the first time in 6 months. You're coming down out of this cloud where you just consume, you're listening and not really listening because footy's just dominating your thoughts. So you're slowly coming out of that, and I think it's you're in a bit more of a relaxed state, which allows you to probably be a little bit more creative. It's funny, you know, you might be on a walk or a ride and a few thoughts come into your mind, but you're in a more of a relaxed state, which enables you to do that.
So if you think back to even just 3 weeks ago since your last game, do you now have a different view of the team and what they've done over the course of the year? Now you've got a bit more sort of clarity, or is it very much still what you thought?
No, it's
now
what
you've got out of game mode.
No, we've got enough people around our club that can keep us aligned in the right space of where we're at. We understand fully as a club where we're at, but as I've said, it just allows you to have more space in your mind. You haven't got a stoppage meeting the next day. You haven't got a line meeting. You haven't got a review of how the defenders went, for example. So you just got more space to think with clarity and creativity, I think.
And you're from, obviously, the Alistair Clarkson School of Coaching, and he's well known as using this period of the year to go overseas, fact-finding missions or study trips. Is that something you do, and what do you look for when you go overseas and look at other sporting clubs and competitions?
Yeah, I've been really fortunate, Jimmy, to be able to do that every year at Hawthorn and my first year at Carlton, being able to travel overseas. And it's never one thing you're looking for. I think Australian rules footy, in fact, have cultures that are doing it as good as anyone in the world, but it's just a little one percenters. What can you add to your culture? Is there a smarter way to teach something? Is there a little nuancy in offence that enables us to get a 2 or 3% advantage or defence? So you go with a real open mind, but a lot of coaches in Aussie rules. I think what's great about them is they're so receptive to look for new ideas. They don't think that they're one way is the only way, and that's why AFL footy continues to advance.
I'm interested to hear you talk about being able to be more creative when you're listening to your wife at home and those type of things. And we were talking with Dan Bolton before, having a bit of fun with Dan Butler from the Tigers about golf and just being able to get away from footy and have a bit of space and perspective, I suppose, on life. Has your time in the game now, you've had 2 years at the Blues, plus your time at Hawthorn and a bit of senior coaching experience there, has it given you a chance to assess where the balance is between being too footy focused to not being balanced enough and having it consume your life, which can't be a good thing?
Yeah, no, you reflect on it a lot, and it's really important to have people around you that can assist if you think you are being a little bit too tunnel vision. I'm still working through that balance half, to be honest. Mm. I'd like to say I'm really good at it, but I'm probably inconsistent. But I often think it's about how you feel about how you're using your time. And everyone's got 24 hours in a day, and then some people can operate with 6 hours sleep and a couple of hours with their children and invest really strongly with it. And the rest of the time at their footy club, it's all about how coaches feel they're using their time, I think, is what balance really is.
You've been in the role now for 2 years. You would have had a clear philosophy on football when you started at Carlton. After 2 years, has it altered much?
I think the game forces you to adjust, Jimmy, you know, little styles and nuances in the game. There's a bit of a tendency to look at offense a little bit more heavily now. I think some teams are really turning on in the season proper. But in saying that, there's been some low-scoring games in finals that come back to the contested footy and defensive side. So it's sort of a little bit of yin and yang in the season. You see more offense, and then it tightens in the finals. I think there's only been two finals with a score of over 100 points. So I'm really confident that we've gone about it the right way in terms of teaching defence and contested footy, but we've still got to add some layers in around offence, and that won't be a one-year fix. It'll be a few-year growth area for us.
So when you're watching the finals, are you watching game trends to try and replicate what the good teams are doing, or are you trying to find ways to combat what the good teams are doing, or is it a combination of both?
Yeah, it's a combination of both, Whitey.
Is it one more than the other?
I think if you're trying to copy what's already happening at a club, you'll already be behind.
Okay.
Because they would have analysed it and reviewed it and looked at why it works or why it doesn't at times. So they're ahead of you. But what you can do is take little bits and make it work for your group, because you can't go and pick up a Geelong and put it at Carlton because you've got different clients, and you can't pick a Hawthorn up and put it at Carlton. You've got to make it work for your group. So I think what a lot of coaches do is just look for little parts that can value add to what they do.
Brendan Bolton's joined us from the Blues, the senior coach of the Carlton Football Club in the Inner Sanctum, and it's great to have him with us. Further to that question before about the finals, final style of footy, Bolts, we were talking about low scoring. We discussed last week that that's why we trust Sydney in a finals campaign. Now, it didn't work out Friday night for them against the Cats, but you trust them because they play that brand of footy every single week, whereas other teams, as you say, are high scoring, and then the finals come and they don't score as much, so it puts them and makes them vulnerable. How difficult is it to get a final style of footy, because it's so brutal and so physical? How can you do that for 23 weeks of a home and away season, or do you have to have another mode of play?
No, I think you need multiple modes of play. It's not all one way, but you only learn that through success and failure over a number of years. I think, you know, when Geelong were at their peak, they'd already lived VFL finals, some of the youngsters. They'd been in finals and lost. And in a funny way, they had to live it to learn it. Yep. So your game style gets reinforced over a number of years. Let it be through successes and failures. And Hawthorn were no different at that time. So you become and you create a game style that's robust through success and failure over a period of time. It doesn't just click in 1 year usually.
So do you look at the combatants in this weekend and have a team that you would point to as your contender, your favourite to go through and win the grand final, just on game style as opposed through the home and away season, or from what you've seen the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, I think it's based over the whole season, but it's interesting, isn't it? The top four reinforce that comment we've just made there now in the prelims, and prelims are the hardest ones to judge. I think any one of the four can obviously win that prelim, and they're really difficult games. But they're going to be exciting. I enjoyed GWS's offense. If you let them out and you don't contain them, they've got absolute speed that can be really scary. So I think that was exciting for the competition, what we saw on the weekend.
No doubt. No doubt about that. Can I ask you about the Blues and your assessment of their year this year, your second year in charge? It was 7 wins last year, 6 wins this year. You'd 7 debutants this year for the Blues. Where did you rank this season compared to last season?
No, we're really confident that we've we've grown and we're still setting the foundation. So we've gone out and done what we said we'd do. We debuted a lot of players, and I think this year a good sign of that, of the guys between 18 and 20 years of age, we got the most games into that group than any other team in the competition. We got about 150 games into them.
So is that by design?
Yeah, definitely. For us to grow, we needed to go to the draft, develop young talent and give it opportunity, because for us to be a contender, we needed to do that. We got five rising stars, which I don't think's been done for a long time other than since GWS when they got all those draft picks. And last year we had Weeders, so there's six. So we think there's a lot of foundation work done. We've still got a long way to go, but it's never that far away. And the reason I say that, you know, there was about six games, maybe seven, where we're in front in the last quarter. But yet hadn't had enough experience in those times to deal with that and actually get the result. So we're happy that we're really competitive, but still know there's a long way to go.
What's really noticeable with your young players, a lot of clubs will tend to, you know, play their young players two or three games, rest them, but you almost make them work through a bit of those tough times?
Yeah, I don't know which philosophy is accurate, but the one that we've lived is probably give them a little bit more of a spell during the week, and the game's the best learning. Some people do it the other way, train them and give them a spell in the game, but we think the game gives you great learning experiences, let it be success or failure, and you've got to go and endure. And provided it's safe and their bodies aren't at risk of injury, we've rolled them out there because we want to mentally harden a lot of our youngsters.
We've spoken a lot during the year. I think it's a really interesting point.
Yeah, I like that.
Just made. We've spent a lot of time during the year talking about your young players, but here on our breaky show, we've talked and marvelled at your senior players and the consistency that they've provided and the high level that they've provided in an environment where you're not winning a lot. Can you sort of share to our listeners a little bit about that? Because I can't believe how good they've been for you all year.
Yeah, because it would have been very easy for us as a club just to say, righto, in this reset, we're just going total youth policy. And that can make you really vulnerable in what is the most brutal competition. And we knew very clearly that the key to this is going to be the coaches uniting with our leadership group led by Murph. And we meet weekly and we have really good, robust discussions. You might find this a little bit weird, but they give me feedback on what worked and didn't during the week and around the program. And I also challenge or celebrate what they've done in the week. So it's a really transparent leadership group. They're really hungry and invested in our youngsters. They know that for us to grow as a club, they need to drive those youngsters, and they've done that really well. But more importantly, what they do know, they've got a responsibility to perform. And, you know, you look at Cruz this year, Murph we've spoken about, Gibbs, Sam Doherty, Cripper until he was injured. They've all driven good standards, but most importantly, Whitey, they've performed, and they needed to because we've got a young profiled list.
I know you'd be proud of all your players, but is part of coaching give you a real extra kick when you see someone like Liam Jones and the turnaround in his career? Like, he's almost a superhero now at fullback.
I must be honest, Jimmy, I've never seen a turnaround so quick, and probably not expected in my time in footy. He was playing the key forward role, and a little bit out of necessity, we had too many at VFL level tools. You know, we got young Harry Mackay coming on, and we said, well, let's experiment with Liam down back, because he's got power and he's tough in the air, and we put him down and he just exploded at VFL level. And to be honest, we left him there for too long because he was setting really high standards, could have been selected, but Sam Rowe at the time was playing all right, and then he got an opportunity, and he's been as consistent as anyone. Really proud of him, because it would have been easy for him not to embrace a change, because it's an extreme change, just never playing down back and moving. But should also give credit to Dale Amos and Josh Fraser. Dale coaches our backs, and Josh doing the VFL invested a lot of time, and Liam had a real growth mindset. So really proud of him, but I've never seen a turnaround like that. No.
But does he open up your thinking as a coach now? Do you look around at training and go, oh, actually, maybe I could try that guy more so there?
Yeah, I think we've got to have flexibility. I think the game requires, and you were one of them who could play multiple positions, and that allows you to nullify or expose an opposition. And players that can play in multiple positions really are a weapon for you. But you can't just do it in one year. Like, we had Wiedering this year play at both ends, but because he's so early in his career, to just flick him week to week from one end to the other, he's not quite ready for that. So we want to make sure he can establish himself in a position before we move him. And if we do move him, do it for an extended period. But in time, we want to be able to do him from week to week.
11 to 8 on The Breakfast Club. Great to have your company on RSN 927. If you just joined us, that is the voice of the coach of the Carlton Football Club, Brendan Bolton, on the Inner Sanctum with us. And he'll continue to hang around after the break. There's plenty more to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Back shortly.
Half Whitey Jimmy. It's RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
Greatest traffic report ever, as far as I'm concerned. Great stuff. 7 to 8. We've got Brendan Bolton with us in the Inner Sanctum of the Carlton Football Club. The coach is with us, Jim.
Yeah, Brendan, I was just about to ask you off air, but we'll ask you now. We spoke about Ken Hinckley and dealing with, you know, boards and CEOs. When you go in and you make your pitch to be the Carlton coach, how hard is it to stick to that plan with the game moving so quickly, and obviously they want success straight away? How hard is it to keep selling, well, I've got the 3-year, 5-year plan?
Yeah, well, I was really fortunate that our club was really aligned when I was going through the process, and I've had a giggle about this. I think I got to the 9th or 10th hour and I said to Triggy, listen, mate, I'm not sure I need to come to this last hour. If you don't know me by now, you never will. But that was telling me that they understood my philosophies and gave me ample opportunity to understand theirs. And we realised we're aligned, and the club was really clear that we're on a reset. And they knew it was going to take some time, but they wanted someone to try and do it as quickly as they possibly could. So we meet every week in footy exec, myself, Andrew McKay, Stephen Trigg, it was Neil Craig, and we talk about all things footy. So there's never any wondering about what they're thinking. We know, and if there's something in the club that we need to sort out, we can in that meeting. And further to that, Mark Lajudice, our president, he rings me after every game. Stephen Silvani, the list manager, rings me probably 3 times a day. We're just talking about footy in general. So I think the key to it all is, Jimmy, is constant communication. We've got a formal meeting every week called Footy Exec, but on top of that, we talk weekly, and that allows us to not have any blurriness or grey in that space.
I've got to ask you about a couple of players for the Carlton listeners, the Carlton fans, yeah, that are listening in to you. Dale Thomas, where is he at? There are reports that there's a 1-year deal on the table for him. Can you let your fans know what's happening there?
Yeah, no, that's fine. First of all, I'll say this about Daisy. It was a really what we call a bound by blue decision to do what he did, re's contract last year, and it was a really team first decision in and around that. Secondly, and I've said often, he's really helped our young kids. He's got a smart footy brain, and he's setting really good standards and education for our youngsters. So given all of that, he's now in consultation with his management and Stephen Silvani, so I'm pretty optimistic that something will get sorted soon.
Okay, so you want him to play for Carlton next year?
Yeah, I do.
It's good feedback. What about Bryce Gibbs? Would you expect Adelaide to come knocking again for Bryce Gibbs, considering how good his year was again for you guys, as you mentioned before?
I'm really unsure, Half. Obviously, he's a contracted player, a wanted and required player as per last year, and we had an exit meeting with him the other day, and he loves the Carlton Footy Club, so I'd expect him to be there.
Was that the turnaround thought you'd get from him? When he stayed last year, obviously wanting to go back to Adelaide, and the club taking a firm stance and keeping him there, and that was fine, because he was contracted for a long period of time too, just by the way. Yeah. Were you expecting the sort of results you got from Bryce on the back of that, knowing him as a person?
Well, yes, because the way he's invested and the way he's playing, you can't do that unless you care about Carlton. And there wasn't an issue with Carlton or the coaches or the players.
Yeah.
He loves his teammates, he's invested with the coaches, and he loves the club. It was just more convenient for him and his family. They're all connected in Adelaide to be back there. So it wasn't like there was a big issue. So given that, you know, it was quite an easy transition. He's mature and he's a professional. It just shows how professional he actually is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He played right on the rivet. You know, be in our top 4 or 5 players this year.
What about Johnny Barker? You talked about coaching interviews before. Are you prepared to lose him, and would you endorse him for the Gold Coast job if they came knocking and said we want him?
Yeah, I think it'd be a great reflection on our footy club that it is a genuine learning environment, not just for players but for coaches. So if JB gets the opportunity to be a senior coach, we'll back that. We're in no way a club that tries to hold people back in terms of progressing, because there's one inner drive in all coaches, and they want to be masters of their craft. And to take the top level, we'd back Johnny in fully if he got the opportunity.
Is he ready? I mean, he's sort of had a sample of it at Carlton, and you've got this great combination, the two of you. Do you feel he's ready to take on a job?
You never know if you're ready. It's like being a dad, I think. Why? No, he's been a great support for me. He's been in the system a long, long time. He's done the level four, so all things stack up to saying that he's ready to have an opportunity.
Can I ask you, sorry, Jimmy, I just about this list management thing, because it's good to have you here because you can clear up a few things. Because you are being linked to a lot of players, Josh Kelly, Tom Rockliffe, Ryan Griffin, even been thrown up as someone that you've been sort of linked to. Yeah. What is going to be your strategy in the off-season? Are you going to be active? Are you going to go to the draft? What are you looking at doing?
We're going to do what we said we're going to do, Whitey, which is, first of all, we will go to the draft. We're going to continue to build and develop young talent, but we're always going to be open-minded to trading, and particularly trading young talent, if it's there and available and there's a want to come to our footy club. If we go outside of those parameters, they've got to have really strong leadership. So they're our three criteria. Go to the draft, be open-minded to trading, provided it's of a young age. If we go outside of that, it's got to have strong leadership qualities.
I just wanted to ask you about the level four coaching, because a lot of people were outside of footy and not inside the AFL. Why is level four coaching so important? What does it do to make a coach ready?
I don't think it's the be-all and, the way to just be a senior coach. You can come from lots of different avenues, and Adam Simpson's an example of that. But what it does, it's just a great learning opportunity for you. You go and reflect on all your philosophical beliefs. You get to understand yourself better, and you get an opportunity to do that out of your working environment. And you get to meet some fantastic coaches, not just in AFL footy, but outside of that. So I just think it's a real quick way to fast-track your philosophical belief and really solidify it. It's a really good stepping stone, but I don't think it's the only stepping stone.
Can I ask you before we let you go? We're coming up to the news, which is a bit disappointing. We'd like to be talking to you for a lot longer. Two questions. Do green shoots grow in winter? Came off the SMS. I think it's a good question.
I'd hope right now when they're away from us, they're actually thriving and they're doing some hard training. So I'm going to say yes.
And the tips for this weekend's preliminary finals. We've got Friday night with Adelaide and Geelong. Who's going to win that? And then Richmond, they're playing somebody, aren't they, on Saturday night? Or is it just a formality that they win against the Giants?
Oh, no, I'll probably tip Adelaide on turnover. They can hurt you offensively. And for the same reason, if GWS can open up with some of that speed again, I'm going to back them. But in saying that, all prelims, I think they're the hardest games to win, and they're always a 50-50, but by 1%, I'll pick those two clubs.
Right, so it's an Adelaide Giants grand final by 1%, according to Brendan Bolton, the coach of the Blues, who's been our special guest in the Inner Sanctum today. Bolt, it's great to have you in, mate. Really appreciate it. Enjoy whatever it is you do in your downtime here, if you get some downtime, and we look forward to seeing what happens with the Blues in 2018 now, next year.
Appreciate you having me on, gents. Thank you.
Great stuff. Brendan Bolton with us, the coach of the Blues. In the Inner Sanctum. 8 o'clock news time. Sarah Patterson with all the latest. And then we'll touch base with the Melbourne Storm ahead of their prelim on Friday night against the Brisbane Broncos.